You are now listening to Changing Lives, a podcast presented by Mount Gilead Full Gospel International Ministries, hosted by co-pastor Elena Robertson.
This is Changing Lives, and we are changing lives with the Word of God. I'm so glad you tuned in, and as usual, I am excited to share the Word of God with you. It's going to be life-changing, and I pray that you'll open up your hearts to receive, that you can find yourself in it, and even share this message with others that you know it will be a blessing to. What I'm going to share with you during this podcast is about familiarity. And I've been just meditating on familiarity as I've been hearing it, you know, ministered and mentioned so many times in Bishop's message, my husband, and, you know, just meditating on the messages that he ministered and how it keeps propping up, and I keep seeing it in so many different ways and forms. And so I've been saying that familiarity is a beast, you know, and so, but as I've been meditating on it, and I've seen there's different aspects of familiarity. Familiarity is not always bad, you know. So in that light, familiarity can be a beast, and I'll explain that to you as we get into the Word. You know, I heard, a quote that says that the church is not for information, it's for transformation. And isn't that true? That whatever pertains to God, which we know the church, and we're talking about the church of the living God, not just a building, but his church, his body, that he pours into for us to be transformed day by day in his word. You know, the word in Romans 12, 1 and 2 talks about being transformed. Of course, we have to renew our minds in order for that to happen. But the ultimate thing for God and us is that he infiltrates our lives with his word, with his way, with his nature in such a way that we are transformed. Amen. That we're not just set up just to receive information, you know, and to get fat on the information, the word, and, you know, the teachings and the books and the resources and, you know, the all kinds of things, you know, but we're designed and created to receive revelation, which is God's information that will ultimately cause us to be transformed. So transformation is our goal, is what we're looking for. And, you know, oftentimes when we get so caught up in information more than we are in revelation, we truly can become dull of hearing, because information comes from all kinds of different directions. You hear information, you know, that you can receive in church, not just the word, but you can just receive other types of information, information on your job, information through the news, information, you know, and just wherever you are, information is always coming to us in conversation and people sharing things with us and, you know, giving us tips or even gossip and things like that. That's information, right? And so, but when we get to that place where we don't recognize the type of information that we're allowing to govern our lives, we can really truly become dull of hearing and dull of seeing. Our senses, as far as the spiritual, can become very desensitized to what God intended for transformation. And so if we love information more than we love revelation, we can tend to be the type of person that loves gossip. Do you love gossip? Do you like to hear the latest juicy news? What is so-and-so doing? And what did she say? And, you know, what happened to their marriage? And, you know, are they going to make it? And, you know, all those crazy things that we know is just running rampant through social media, through, you know, conversations at the dinner table and conversations in different settings and all kinds of things. You know, we get on the phone and we're going to say the latest thing. You know, what did that person say, you know, when I wasn't in their presence? Oh, this is what they said. You know, well, how do you know they were talking about you? Maybe they weren't, you know, but we can tend to read into information because we're driven by information. Okay. And so we become talebearers, and a talebearer is someone that, you know, once something is stated, once something is placed in motion or whatever, we come behind the scenes, we come in secret, we come, behind the back of, you know, and begin to tear down or share information or discuss or reason or give our opinion or judge, you know, what's going on, you know. And so when you love information more than you love revelation, you want to stay in the know. You constantly have the news on. It's on 24/7. You wake up in the morning, you turn the news on. The news is what's permeating throughout your atmosphere of your home all day. You're flipping on your phone and you're getting the latest updates and all that stuff. That's information, and it's information overload, information that does not lead to transformation. We have to learn how to discern so that we can weed out that type of stuff. But what happens is this, when we receive information, and information is not just, you know, you telling about something, it's something that you learn about as you grow, you know, you get to know, you know, people and places and situations and circumstances and, you know, God, you know. But when we allow the information to cause us to be puffed up, to cause us to be unteachable, cause us to be in a place where we think we know it all, or causes us to be judgmental towards the person that maybe we're supposed to be submitted under, or being led by, and we become disrespectful of what they're supposed to be doing to help us follow, you know, in the right direction, then that's when familiarity sets in. And so I'm going to break it down, because there's so many different aspects about familiarity. As I mentioned, it's not just a bad thing. It is a good thing, when you become familiar, you know, that's it can be a very pure, organic, a state or ambition, you know, to be familiar with something. I mean, when you're learning how to do something, you're learning a trade, when you want to get to know God, when you want to get to know someone, your boyfriend, your fiance, your husband, your wife, those are things that are organically just pure, you know. It's nothing wrong with wanting to know so that you can know how to govern yourself. But when it becomes toxic, or when it turns itself into something that is not of good intentions, is when that information becomes something that we use against a person, or we allow it to stifle us in life or in situations. And so, so I'm just going to share. I believe that there are different levels of familiarity, because you can start with getting to know, which is synonymous to being getting familiar with, right? And as I said, that's a pure organic, state of growing and learning. Okay. But then you can slip into the sin of familiarity, which is when you allow that information to cause negative things to happen in your life, or between relationships, it deters from the will of God, the way of God, the character of God, the nature of God, okay? And then if that sin of familiarity begins to progress, then it can become a spirit of familiarity. And so when it becomes a spirit, is that spirit and that spiritual realm begins to take up residence in our lives, you know? And then you get close, connected to, or transition to familiar spirits, which is when it's just been a territorial area in our lives that the enemy uses to camp out in, and now it becomes a stronghold that we must be delivered from, or we need to be delivered from, you know. And so think about those levels, because it's how sin is able to take up root in our lives. It's always a progression. We never just start out in the worst state, or we don't start out being bound, you know. But there's avenues and doors that we've opened up, or things that we've allowed to happen that we did not check, or we did not shut down, or we did not correct, okay, or allowed to be corrected, okay. And so I'm going to start out talking about, you know, familiarity and the good with good intents, okay? And how it can be something that's very healthy, okay? And so good intents, meaning that it's closely related to intimacy, really the familiarity, it, you know, the root word or meaning, you know, a root word is familiar. And it's connected to intimacy and friendship. Okay. And so when you have intimacy, whether it be intimacy with God, okay, that's a closeness. That's and when you're close with God, you get to know his voice. You get to know when he's speaking to you. You get to know his nature, his character, his ways, his will, his plans, his dreams. You get to know God. And it's not just a one shot deal. It's a perpetual intimacy that God woos us or calls us, you know, and the word of God in John, the 15th chapter, talks about he who dwells, you know, there's a dwelling and abiding that he desires for us to have. And that abiding and that dwelling, it never leaves. It never dissipates. It constantly grows and gets closer and closer and closer and more intimate. And then the other one is the friendship, you know, and so, you know, and you can look at the intimacy and friendship can be, you know, with just an acquaintance. It can be with family members. It can be with, you know, it can be with a spouse. Of course, there's different levels of intimacy, you know, where you, you know, when you're talking about marital relationship with a man and a woman, you're talking about intimacy that leads to, you know, or encompasses sexual intimacy, but so many other types of intimacy. Okay. You know, the word of God says, you know, dwell with your wives according to knowledge. And I believe the same goes with, you know, the wives knowing, you know, your husbands, you know, knowing our husbands. And knowing, you know, things about them and getting to learn more about them. And as we are all, you know, the husband and the wife should be evolving in God, then we get to know them afresh and anew every day. That's powerful within itself, man. That's a whole nother podcast right there. But intimacy and fellowship. And so getting acquainted with it, you know, where you increase understanding. But also when you look at familiarity, it's not just relationships. It can be things, situations, you know, circumstances, you know, so you can gain familiarity with a product or, you know, the usage of something, you know, and all of that is good because it helps you to be able to be proficient in something, to be excellent or to flow, or it makes your life better. You know, the quality of being well known is another way of looking at familiarity. You know, something that's powerful in a marriage relationship is when you truly know your spouse and it's not based on the wrongs that you know about them, even though you can learn from things that may not be the person's, you know, best quality. But you can even learn from mistakes and learn from, just things that aren't the best, you know, about a person, and you can learn how to love them in a better way, you know? But familiarity is, recognizability based on long or close association, you know, and so there's so many different aspects of it. You know, you can be familiar with how, you know, your household flows. You know, you can start out, you know, as a child, grow up in your household, and you know, you become a teen, and you become, you know, the point where you become a young adult, and you graduate, and you move out the house, but you're familiar with, you know, those things and how the household flowed and how, you know, the principles and the standard and the integrity or the lack thereof, you know, flowed in your household. And so, so there's some things that can be reassuring, or there's some things that can be very vexing or more like a repellent based on how familiar you are about things that went on in your household, you know. And so, so again, that's the negative or the positive part of it. And so you can be familiar with friends, best friends, close friends, associates to a certain degree. But all of this is a part of learning and growing and a part of how God has established relationships here in the earth realm, that being familiar can be a very good intent and very healthy and productive intent to help us to learn and to grow together and to sharpen each other and to be the best that we can be, you know. But a quote that Bishop said in one of his messages that grabbed my attention was, "The familiar can keep you from the unfamiliar." And as I pondered that, the unfamiliar, you know, it's like, okay, what are you talking about? You know, unfamiliar, those things that we have not experienced, those things that we don't know, those places that we haven't gone, that we don't have a clue, we don't have any information about it, that we don't have what we need to from that situation or place or person to gather from to enrich our lives. Okay, so when we become so familiar, when we become familiar with a person, so we lose that edge of being able to receive from them what we don't know, or experience what we don't know. So that's something powerful. And so I'm reminded of this phrase that I've heard at different times down through the years, and it just propped up again in my just meditating and studying of familiarity. And that's the phrase, what some people call proverb, of familiarity breeds contempt. Wow, what does that mean? It means an extensive knowledge of or close association with someone or something that leads to a loss of respect for them or it. Wow. Let's break that word down, contempt, a little bit more. It's connected to scorning, where you have no regard for a person or a thing or situation. You know, you may be possessions that you have or something that's given to you or something that you may have. You don't have any respect for it or appreciation for it. You know, it could be a word or a person or relationship in your life. Some people don't have no regard for their parents. You know, they scorn it, you know, which means when you scorn something, you talk about it, you murmur, you complain about it. You have disrespectful words towards it or that person. So you're scorning, okay? You mock them, you know, or you mock that situation, you know. It's indifferent. You have an I don't care type of attitude, like it doesn't, you know, add to my life, or at least you think it wouldn't have the ability to, or it can't. You know, it doesn't mean anything to you, has no value. You have no appreciation for that person or that thing or situation or circumstance, you know. So contempt is something that is, it's, you know, from the phrase, it's, you know, familiarity. When you're familiar with something, then you can begin to breed contempt. And so when you look at that, it's also another way of looking at it is disregard for something that should be taken into account or valued. The feeling that a person or a thing is beneath consideration, worthless, or deserving scorn. Okay. It can be something that you overlook, you know, because you're so familiar with something, you can overlook it and not have any, you know, attention to what really could bring value to your life, whether it be through a person or something, you know. It's also the offense of being disobedient or disrespectful of a governing boundaries or laws. You know, oftentimes we may hear, you know, this term contempt of court, relating to, you know, the court system and how things are set up and how people may respond in a disrespectful way to the ruling or the judge or the whole, you know, system of what's going on in court. And so it can be offensive and disobedient and disrespectful. Okay. And so and then another is consider someone or something to be unworthy of respect or attention. And so You know, and oftentimes the more you know about someone, and in particular, I think about, you know, even a marriage relationship. You know, me and my husband, we've been married for 36 years now. And, you know, when we first started out, there was a lot I didn't know about him. And there was a lot he didn't know about me. Right. And so as we began to learn more, we began to learn, oh, some good things. But guess what? We began to learn some bad things too, some things that, you know, we didn't care for, you know, and that's on both sides. And that's just naturally how relationships are, you know, that when you get to know somebody, you're going to see their flaws, you're going to see their shortcomings. But are you able to not just ignore shortcomings and flaws? Because I believe that we are to sharpen each other and provoke each other to righteousness. But sometimes, you know, that's a process for somebody to be receptive to, you know, being provoked or receptive to being corrected, you know, when there's something that's flawed about them or incorrect about them, you know. And so, but do you just throw in the towel and jump out of the relationship? No, you have long suffering, as the Word of God talks about in 1 Corinthians 13, to bear all things, believe all things, hope all things, you know, that it doesn't keep a record of wrong, you know, it weathers, you know, the worst of things, because love is something that never fails. Love is what comes from God, and love is something that sticks with, you know, a person and helps to love the hell out of a person, helps to love the person to the place where they become vulnerable and able to let their guards down and able to admit they're wrong and able to, you know, to release pride out of their lives, you know. And so, you know, but when we allow that disrespect or that contempt to set in, then, you know, that familiarity would have us so stuck on the negative, then we can't see the right. We can't see oftentimes that the good can outweigh the bad. But the enemy, his point of view, his intent is for us to be so focused in on the bad that we allow it to breed bitterness and all kinds of things that will cause disrespect, disregard, the lack of gratitude to set in and all of those things. And we definitely know that that is, you know, the tactic of the enemy. So we can become bored. We can become bored in relationships. We can become bored in our job. You know, how many times have we started a job or a project or, you know, or maybe even got a new car, a new house, or, you know, we met somebody new and we're so excited. We're so zealous about it. But then when we begin to day in and day out experience that person or experience these things, then we begin to lose our zeal and our excitement, and a boredom begins to set in. Why? Because it's the same thing or the same person or same situation day in and day out. But you know what? When you look at that, it's really not the same. Even though it can be the same thing, the same person, you should not be the same, right? Day by day, you know, if we're connected to God, we should be placing ourselves in a posture where we allow God to bring freshness in our life day by day. I mean, because isn't that like God? He doesn't serve us staleness, you know, the same thing that he served us the day before. No, his word says morning by morning, new mercies that we see every single morning. He doesn't keep a record of wrong. Now, if there is sin that we have not dealt with in our lives, yeah, he's going to hold us accountable. He's going to allow the Holy Spirit to convict us. He's going to do whatever he needs to do to get our attention, say, okay, this has been lingering far too long. You need to deal with it. But his mercies are new. His mercy and his love and his forgiveness is there. His blood is there fresh to wash us anew and set us on a new path with a new day and new beginnings. And that's how he wants us to be, because what? We're made like him. He wants us to think like him and act like him, not to act like the ways of the world and how the enemy would want us to act. So we get bored of things. So, and then we lose respect, as I mentioned. And then, you know, when you talk about familiarity breeds contempt, people can have a harder time accepting someone as an authority figure if they are very familiar with them. Okay. And so, like I said, it happens in marriages, long-term relationships, marriages, whatever, and so many different things, you know. And so I heard another quote, you know, that takes it a step further. And this is a writer, and the person said, familiarity does not breed contempt. It is contempt. And when I looked at that particular phrase, I was like, you know what? It can definitely be contempt when we allow that sin of familiarity to settle in and not be checked or not be dealt with. Okay, it can be utterly disrespectful. It can be utterly scornful and mockful and nasty and mean and bitter and cantankerous and just confrontational. And that's that nasty spirit. And so, you know, as we begin to look at the evil intent, you know, I'm going to begin to break some things down, and there's so much that I have to share. So we're going to have more, you know, that I'm going to share. But I'm going to first of all start out just talking a little bit about the evil intent, and then we'll pick up again in another podcast. And so, but when you look at familiarity, what will it do? It will make us ungrateful. Okay. Ungratefulness is one of those things that I really try to steer away from, because God is so good. I mean, he is so good. And the devil wants us to dumb down the goodness of God, or become dull of the goodness of God, or unaware or unappreciative of the goodness of God. And the goodness of God is not just in tangible things that we can get. Those things are wonderful, and certainly we ought to show appreciation for the things that we have in our lives. Oftentimes there may be things that we have in our lives that we may not like it, because maybe it's not the newest, it's not the best, it's not the most accommodating, but it's still something that God, you know, at some point in our lives has blessed us with. And that's the goodness of God. You know, the car you drive may not be the car that you ultimately want, but it is a car. It's got four wheels. You can put gas in it, and it gets you from point A to point B. That's something to be grateful for, because there are people who don't have cars. There are people who don't even have other forms of transportation, such as bicycles and, you know, mopeds or just whatever, you know. And so to even have something as advanced as a car is certainly something to be grateful for, you know. And I can remember when I had one of my cars, and we'd had it for a long time. It was going on about 10 years, and it was beginning to break down a lot. I mean, a lot. And not necessarily break down, but it was just things that were vexing me, such as the air in the tire would constantly, even though we got it fixed, it was something dealing with the rims and some other things that caused it to constantly just the air to come out. And I would often have to, you know, pull over to a station to, you know, to fill the tires up with air. And it was vexing to my spirit. And I remember the actual last day that I had to pump the air in the tire of that car. And I remember it because I'll tell you what happened that day. When I pumped the air in that tire, I remember God, good Lord, I remember God telling me, be grateful, because you never know what I have for you down the road. And I remember making that adjustment, because it was a little embarrassing. This was a car that, you know, was a pretty decent car, Cadillac Escalade, but it was just an older car. And I remember just making that adjustment in my spirit and saying, God, I thank you. I thank you for this car that I had and all of that. And little did I know that by the end of that day, I will receive a brand new car. And it wasn't all about the car. It was about the goodness of God and God's faithfulness, that he showed that in the littlest things, the things that just totally vexed our spirits and just, oh, it works on our last nerve. God had me to show me in that moment how to appreciate even what I had, and how that if I held on and if I operated in gratitude and I was thankful for what I had, that he would cause more to come my way. And so I'm saying that, you know, I would break down like this, but it's just the goodness of God, the goodness of God. And if you be faithful in the little, God is so true to give you much. And it's not just in the material things. I mean, there's been things that I've seen. I've been vexed about certain things in our relationship with my husband, relationship with my kids, you know, situations and things going on with the church. And God had to refocus me and to help me to pray for and to, you know, speak positive and speak good and declare and decree the goodness of God over those situations. And in a matter of time, and in God's perfect timing, he turned those things around. But I believe that if I would have allowed the familiarity of all those things that just get in my nerves, I'm so tired of this, I'm so tired of that, and when is it I'm going to be delivered from this, and I'm murmuring, complaining, I believe it would have prolonged the blessings. I mean, the ultimate example is we look at the children of the Israelites and, you know, how they were, God had delivered them out of, from the hands of the Egyptians, you know, but they were placed on their way to the promised land, and they were in a situation where they were inconvenienced. They didn't get all the food that they had in Egypt, even though they were in bondage. They didn't get the food that they had in Egypt. They didn't have the amenities that they had in Egypt, even though they were in bondage, right? So they were so stuck on the familiarity, those things that made their flesh comfortable, those things that, you know, they thought, you know, was just the amenities of life that makes life better, even though they were in bondage, okay? You know, that they didn't see that the road to the promised land was a temporary road that should only have lasted 40 days, but yet it became a 40-year journey. You know, and how many things in our lives have we transpired it from a 40-day journey into a 40-year journey? And so I believe it's all because of the spirit of familiarity that we allow to seep into our lives. And so I want to provoke you. We're just getting started on this. There's so much to share as it relates to the spirit of familiarity. And I just pray that you just search the scriptures, that you seek God and you allow him to help you grow introspectively and see what is it in your life. Is it your spouse? Is it, you know, even on your job? I mean, be thankful, because some people don't have jobs. Some people can't even draw unemployment because of whatever their circumstances or situations are. Some people don't have the money that you're making on your job, right? So learn to be thankful and learn to say, God, how can I turn this vexation into the assignment you've intended for this to be, and allow God's perfect will to be done so that he can do what he wants to do in your life and you can move on from that sooner than later, right? And so I want you to stay tuned for our next podcast, because we're going to continue as we deal with this beast that I call familiarity. God bless you.
This has been another episode of Changing Lives. Be sure to subscribe to stay updated on new episodes. Also, find us on the web at MountGileadFGIM.org and follow us on Instagram at MountGileadFGIM.